You're sitting in your living room, flipping through channels, half listening to a documentary about the universe. You're not really paying attention until you hear a number, 137. Something about it makes you pause. It feels familiar. You grab your phone and check your last text message. Unread notification at 1:37 p.m. Weird. You open your banking app. Your last transaction, $13.70. Now your stomach tightens. This morning you bought a coffee. You pull the crumpled receipt from your pocket. Order number 137. You feel a chill crawl up your spine. It's just a coincidence, right? You Google it. And the more you read, the worse it gets. Because 137 isn't just a number. It's one of the most fundamental constants in physics. It controls how atoms hold together, how light interacts with matter, how energy moves. If it were even slightly different, the entire universe would collapse. Scientists have called it God's number. Richard Feynman, one of the greatest physicists of all time, once said, "All good theoretical physicists put this number up their wall and worry about it constantly. And yet, no one knows where it comes from. It shouldn't exist, but it does. And now, for some reason, it's following you. Is it just a coincidence? Or is something trying to tell you the universe isn't what we think?" In the year 1900, a German physicist named Max Planck sat alone in his dimly lit study, staring at an equation that shouldn't exist. His hands rested on a stack of failed calculations, ink-stained fingers gripping the edges of the paper like a man grasping for certainty in a universe that refused to give it. For weeks, he had been wrestling with a simple problem. Why didn't energy behave the way it was supposed to? The laws of physics said that energy should flow smoothly, continuously, like a steady stream of water. That was the rule. That was how the universe worked. But the numbers weren't cooperating. No matter how many times he ran the calculations, energy didn't move continuously. It jumped. It broke apart into indivisible fragments, tiny discrete packets that refused to be smoothed out, no matter what equation he used. It was as if reality itself was snapping into place, frame by frame, refusing to be divided beyond a certain limit. And there, in his trembling hands, was the number that defined it. 6.626 times 10 to the negative 34th power. It would later be known as Planck's constant, the smallest possible unit of action in the universe. Smaller than this, and reality itself breaks down. The calculations revealed something disturbing. Physics wasn't continuous. It was pixelated. The universe itself had a minimum resolution. Planck sat back, staring at the flickering candlelight. He wasn't just looking at an equation. He was looking at the brick wall at the edge of reality. If space, time, and energy weren't infinitely divisible, was the universe even real? And worse, if reality had pixels, then didn't that mean it was being rendered? He had found something horrifying, something that shook him to his core. He had found the resolution limit of the simulation. Numbers. We think of them as simple human-made symbols, tools we invented to count things, measure things, make sense of the world. But what if we didn't invent them? What if numbers existed before us, before language, before thought, before time itself? Because the deeper we look, the stranger it gets. There are certain numbers, forbidden numbers, that keep appearing where they shouldn't be. Numbers that show up across physics, nature, biology, even ancient history, and no one knows why. If physicists lose sleep over one number, it's this 137.035999206. It's known as the fine structure constant, and it's everywhere. It controls how atoms hold together, how light interacts with matter, how the entire universe behaves. And here's the terrifying part. If this number were even slightly different, the universe as we know it wouldn't exist. Atoms wouldn't form. Chemistry wouldn't work. Matter itself would unravel. Richard Feynman, one of the greatest physicists of all time, once said, "You might say the hand of God wrote that number, and we don't know how he pushed his pencil." But this number isn't just in physics books. It's in ancient texts. Kabbalistic mysticism speaks of 137 as the gateway between the physical and spiritual worlds. Leonardo da Vinci was obsessed with it. The Great Pyramid of Giza encodes 137 and its proportions. How did ancient civilizations thousands of years ago know about a number that modern physics only discovered recently? Unless they didn't discover it. They were trying to remember it. Look at a spiral galaxy, a hurricane, a seashell, a sunflower. All of them follow the same perfect mathematical pattern, a ratio of 1.618, known as phi or the golden ratio. This number isn't just in space, it's inside you. Your DNA coils in a spiral that follows this number. The proportions of your face, your hands, even your heartbeat all follow the same mathematical rule. This isn't random. This isn't a coincidence. This is structure, a universal pattern buried inside reality itself. But here's the bigger question. Why? Why would the universe follow a mathematical blueprint unless it was designed to? Pi is infinite. It never repeats, never ends. And yet, somehow, it shows up in everything. The way planets orbit the sun. The structure of ripples in a pond. The equations of quantum mechanics. Pi shouldn't be here. It's not a physical number. It's an abstraction. And yet, the universe is built with it. Which means one of two things. Either the universe was programmed with pi, or the universe itself is a mathematical construct. There is one equation in mathematics that defies logic. Physicists call it the most beautiful equation in the universe. It looks simple, but when mathematicians first saw it, they were stunned, because it combines five of the most fundamental constants in reality into a single equation. But here's the part that keeps scientists awake at night. There's no reason for it to exist in nature, and yet it does. It's as if someone wrote the mathematical laws of the universe, and this was their master equation, a signature in the source code of reality. But here's the most unsettling question of all. Signatures mean something. They mean someone wrote them. And if there's a signature hidden inside the fabric of reality itself, then who or what signed it? And more importantly, did they leave it there for us to find? Let's play a game. Imagine you're an advanced intelligence. You want to build a universe, one that runs smoothly, follows strict rules, and turns chaos into order. How would you do it? You wouldn't just throw particles into the void and hope for the best. You would write a code, a set of instructions, a structured system that dictates how everything behaves. And here's the terrifying part. Scientists are now uncovering evidence that suggests our universe might actually work this way. Because the deeper we look, the more we find signs of programming. Take Dr. James Gates, a theoretical physicist studying the foundation of reality itself. While analyzing the equations behind string theory, he discovered something that should not have been there. Computer code. Not just any code, error correcting codes, the exact kind used in modern computing, to detect and fix glitches. But why would the fundamental laws of physics contain something that looks like pre-programmed software? Unless, of course, we're inside a coded system. And here's where it gets worse. Everywhere we look, nature keeps repeating the same exact mathematical structures over and over at every possible scale. Look at a tree. The way its branches split into smaller and smaller versions of itself, that's a fractal. Look at a river from above. See how its smaller streams branch off? Another fractal. Now look at galaxies, the large-scale structure of the universe. The cosmic web of galaxies and dark matter also follows fractal patterns. Wait, what? Are we seeing the same structure repeating itself from microscopic scales to cosmic scales? If so, what does that mean? It means the same code is being applied everywhere, as if reality is running on a programmed algorithm. And if fractals govern reality, that suggests something terrifying. There is a blueprint, a structured design system that repeats itself over and over, across time, across space, across everything. And then there's DNA. DNA is not just a molecule, it's a language. It contains instructions, sequences, and syntax rules, just like computer programming. In fact, when computer scientists analyze DNA, they describe it using the same terms as coding languages. And guess what? The amount of data stored in DNA is so advanced that scientists are now literally working to store digital information inside DNA itself. That's right. We've just figured out how to use DNA as a hard drive. But ask yourself this. If we just now learned how to do this, who or what figured it out first? What if DNA wasn't just a molecule for life, but an encoded message? A message placed here to be unlocked when we became advanced enough to recognize it. A message that explains who we really are. All right, let's put this all together. We found error-correcting computer code inside physics. The universe follows fractal-based programming at every scale. DNA itself functions like a digital storage system. This isn't randomness. This isn't chaos. This is design. And that leaves us with something far more unsettling. If reality is coded, then that means it can be hacked. Think about it. If DNA is a code, could it be rewritten? If physics runs on a structured system, could it be altered? If the laws of the universe are numbers, what happens if we change the equation? We assume the rules of existence are set in stone, but what if they're not? What if reality isn't a rigid system, but a program that can be modified? And here's the scariest part. What if someone or something has already figured that out? What if the anomalies we see, glitches in history, unexplained phenomena, impossible events, aren't just mysteries? What if there are bugs in the system? Signs that something or someone has learned to manipulate the code? And if that's true, then the biggest question isn't who wrote the code. It's who's editing it right now. If you build a system, any system, you usually leave behind a signature, a mark, a way to prove that it was designed. But what if the universe itself is doing the same thing? Because throughout history, strange messages seem to appear in the very fabric of reality itself. They show up in mathematics. They show up in nature. They even show up in our own minds. And when you put them all together, it starts to look less like randomness and more like something or someone is leaving behind a trail. For decades, astronomers have been scanning the skies, searching for anything unusual. And every now and then, they find something. Like in 1977, a radio telescope picked up a signal, a transmission from deep space that lasted for exactly 72 seconds. It was so strong, so precise, and so undeniably not natural that scientists who discovered it circled the reading in red ink with and wrote the word "wow" next to it. It became known as the WOW signal. It came from a starless region of space. It followed none of the known patterns of cosmic radiation. And to this day, we have never heard anything like it again. NASA, the military, independent researchers, no one has been able to explain it. Was it just an anomaly, or was it something else? And if someone or something sent that message, were we supposed to respond? Then there are the fast radio bursts, FRBs, mysterious, ultra-powerful signals coming from deep space that appear out of nowhere and vanish just as quickly. Scientists first detected them in 2007. And here's the freaky part. Some of them repeat. They are not random. They don't behave like natural cosmic events. They behave like signals. But signals from who? Now let's rewind a few thousand years. Ancient civilizations obsessed over numbers, patterns, and geometry long before modern science even existed. They carved them into pyramids, temples, and sacred sites. They aligned entire cities with cosmic mathematics. They encoded universal ratios into their art, their structures, and even their religious beliefs. But how did they know? The golden ratio. They used it before it was ever measured. Pi, encoded in their architecture long before we understood its infinite nature. 137, the number that baffles physicists today, found in ancient mystical texts. Did they stumble upon something, or were they given something? And here's where it gets even more disturbing. Because some of the strangest, most impossible messages aren't out in space. They're inside of us. They have been there, thousands of documented cases of ordinary people suddenly waking up with impossible knowledge. People who never studied math, but wake up one day and start writing out advanced equations. People who never played music, but suddenly compose symphonies in their heads. People who have near-death experiences and return with knowledge they could never have known. This isn't science fiction. This has happened. It has been documented. And here's what's truly terrifying. Some of these people describe the experience the same way, as if something was downloading information into their minds. They don't know where it came from. They don't know why they suddenly knew it. They only know they didn't learn it the normal way. So what does this mean? Are we tapping into something larger? Is intelligence something we create or something we receive? And if that's true, then what exactly are we receiving it from? We've spent this entire journey pulling at the threads of reality, unraveling the hidden numbers, the impossible patterns, the eerie equations that seem placed, not random, not chaotic, but structured, as if the universe itself was written. But if that's true, if reality runs on a code, then we have to ask the only question that matters. What happens when the code is broken? Maybe we were never meant to notice. Maybe we weren't supposed to look too closely. To question the numbers, the constants, the eerie signatures woven through the universe. Maybe that's why, when physicists dig deep, they keep hitting dead ends. Answers that refuse to reveal themselves. Patterns that seem to whisper, but never speak. Because what if the code isn't just there to sustain reality? What if it's there to keep something out? Or worse, to keep something in? Think about it. A program isn't just built to run. A program is built with rules, and those rules serve a purpose. If we are inside a structured system, then who or what designed the parameters? What was it trying to prevent? And why is it suddenly becoming detectable? For centuries, the universe was unknowable, unreachable, its secrets locked away behind impenetrable walls. But then something changed. In the last 100 years, we have decoded DNA, split the atom, manipulated quantum fields, and even started simulating universes of our own. We are learning the language of the system. We are becoming creators within the creation. And that raises the final, most terrifying possibility of all. What if this system was never meant to be discovered? What if reality has been watching us, waiting for us to reach a threshold? And what happens when we finally go too far? Maybe the universe has always been conscious. Maybe it has always known we were here. Maybe the reason these numbers, these codes, these patterns exist is because something, somewhere, left them behind as a warning, a failsafe, a message, a countdown. And if that's true, then the real question isn't who wrote the code. The real question is, what happens when the code wakes up? And more importantly, what happens when it decides we've seen too much? All right, you made it to the end. I'm Ralph. That's Wendell, who, by the way, is still salty about humanity in general. And this has been another crazy ride on Divergent Files. If you laughed, learned something, or just didn't totally hate this, smash that like button, hit subscribe, and poke all the buttons that make the YouTube algorithm gods happy. I know, you hear this from every YouTuber ever. But seriously, it's the difference between us keeping the lights on or Wendell having the moonlight as a car wash mascot. Now, a big old shout out to our Patreon crew. Seriously, you're the real MVPs. Without you, Wendell would be drinking discount coffee and I'd be editing videos on a laptop held together with duct tape. If you're not part of the team yet, you can join us for as little as $3 a month and you'll get access to some awesome perks like exclusive behind the scenes content, early access, extended episodes, and sneak peeks at upcoming projects. Plus, you'll be helping us dive into some more wild and fascinating topics we couldn't otherwise tackle. Head on over to patreon.com/divergentfiles to check out what's waiting for you. Oh, and get this, we're not just a YouTube channel, we're also in your ears now. Check out Divergent Files Project Podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. It's got extended episodes, unfiltered content, and some deep dives into stuff that YouTube would totally freak out about if we uploaded it here. Seriously, if you think we push boundaries on YouTube, wait until you hear what we unleash over there. Here's the deal, folks. You're not just an audience. You're the lifeblood of this channel. Your curiosity, your wild theories, your random comments, they're what keep this thing alive. Got an idea for a video? Drop it below. I read them all, yes, even the unhinged ones. And who knows, your idea might be next on deck. So here's the takeaway. The world is weird, the stories are weirder, and we're just trying to make sense of it all. Thank you for sticking with us, for showing up, and for being part of this wild experiment. Until next time, stay curious, stay kind, and remember, you are truly appreciated.
Like something's off, like there's a shadow just outside the light. They feed you answers, keep you numb, but the questions, man, they don't sleep at night. Turn the dial, crack the code. What if the stories were never just stories? The ghosts, the whispers, the things that you dream aren't echoes but memories. We ain't here to play it safe. We ain't. sky, moving too fast. Signals in the static, calling from the past. Footsteps in an empty room, and a name you don't remember whispered in a voice you never knew. Flip the page, break the lock. What if the past ain't the past at all? What if we're seeing the future and just don't recognize the call? Trying to remind you before we all go down.